Welcome to the upper room.
Looks like it.
That's right. It looks like it, eh?
It does.
It's
bread and wine.
That's yes.
Bring it on.
Yeah, we had pop. So, folks, it's so great to welcome you, and such a privilege to share in this wonderful assembly. We've been so fed in so many ways. Boy, I'm still on a high from this morning's service and sermon. Do you guys mind your picture being taken?
Oh, sorry, push it out.
Too late. That's right. We're going to dive right in because this is an exceedingly full workshop. It's a 3-hour workshop done in an hour and 15 minutes. Okay?
It's a 3-hour workshop that we try and do in an hour.
We try and do in an hour and 15 minutes. But the whole point I want to say of this workshop is really to be kind of an introduction, a teaser. Consider it like a trailer or a coming soon or a potluck supper. I love potluck suppers. Don't feel you have to eat everything. Take what the Lord seems to be saying for you. What our real sense is, we want this to be a time of encouragement and also just a little bit of a pointing of, well, there's this direction, or there's that direction, or there's this resource, or there's that resource. And we're only going to skim the surface, honestly. We would love to do more. In fact, one of the convictions coming out of the first workshop was we need to do a conference, maybe even two, one on children, one on youth. It's just, this is just to kind of get us started and to bring us together. We know we come from different situations. Some of us may have no children. Some of us may have lots of kids or youth. How many are actually working with children or youth? Okay, so we have some. How many are rectors? Associate. Because I know one of the points that was made strongly to when I was at an event with Josh McDowell. Everybody know Josh McDowell, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He said one of the factors that he's observed in ministry, just speaking to the rectors and pastors for a second, is that we definitely need volunteers, and the pastors don't have to do all the work. But if the pastor is in some way involved and has a connection with the kids, the sticking power, the long-term effect, tends to be greater. So it's great that the rectors are here too. So we know we're in different situations, and that's another reason why we're throwing a smorgasbord out there for you to pick from. We also know that there are all kinds of ways that ministry can happen. In our parish in St. Luke's, we have probably a fairly traditional model of having what we call a kids' church, but if you want to call it Sunday school or whatever, that happens on Sundays. We have a youth group during the week, and we have occasional other events, and we'll tell you more about some of that. But we are not saying that our way is the best way. There's all kinds of other possibilities and creative options and different ways that you can do things. So again, we're just offering sparks.
A good place to mention a friend of ours has a very small Pentecostal church. She might only get 9 to 15 adults on a Sunday and 0 to 9 kids. They have a kids club in the middle of the week that can get anywhere from 15 to 40 kids.
Yeah.
And they have such a ministry to the small town.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be just your own congregation. Right. Thanks, dear. So very quickly before we dive... Well, actually, let's pray first, then I'll introduce folks. We'll have a word from our sponsor, as it says on the ANIC website, and then we'll dive in, all right? So let's just... Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for the great redemption that you have accomplished for us. Lord, we heard about it this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you have such a heart for us and for your children. Again and again, you've shown us that in Scripture, your heart for the children. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd give us your heart, that you'd awaken in us again or renew in us, or maybe for the first time, a passion for the next generations. Lord, we want to pass it on, that which we have received. Lord, we also ask that you would equip us, to be able to do that more effectively, even in a little way today. Lord, we ask that each one of us would take away at least something that would be helpful in this ongoing work that's your work for your glory and only by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm wearing a t-shirt, by the way, that I got at the Acquire the Fire conference. I'm not fearless. I wish I was, but Lord, with Lord's help, I'm getting more so. The t-shirt that's the t-shirt of our youth group, I was just telling Alan earlier, it came from a wonderful video called How Great is Our God. If anyone's seen it, it's outstanding video. The kids, thanks, dear, watched, well, we brought it to the youth group. Figuring I'd show them 10 minutes. They wanted to watch the whole 50 minutes. They wanted it so much we watched it again, and our t-shirts are based on it. It's about God's greatness in creation in space and also in our bodies. Anyway, but that t-shirt, Jane, as we were leaving on Monday, said, oh, anything you want that didn't get washed? I said, no, I'm fine. Then I realized a big spaghetti stain on my youth group t-shirt. So I don't have my youth group t-shirt. Anyway, you have an outline here that says Ministry to Children and Youth, Strategic and Central to Gospel Proclamation. Quick introduction. Yes, so Kevin Rabishaw from our parish was going to help us, but we released him to go to the church planting workshop. And another, the Reverend Robert Rowe was wonderful. You got to meet Robert if you don't know him. And he's had a great ministry to youth and a lot to say, to share. I mean, that's we would benefit from. But he's been quite ill. He was in the hospital last night. He came out, bless him, to the workshop this morning. He didn't need to, but he did. But we just said, you know, do what's right, okay? So he's not here. But we also have the Reverend Vicki Hedelius, who's got a wonderful ministry that she's going to share with you and also be a real key part in taking us forward in Anik. So welcome from Church of the Epiphany, Vicki, and you'll tell us more about yourself shortly. Deacon Jane, my wife. Children and youth person in the parish, leader.
Struggling and kicking.
Yes, she'll tell you about that. And one of our awesome youth, Carrie Rex, who's also going to share some stuff.
I'm also technical.
And technical, because, yeah, she's 17. She's qualified. The other thing I wanted to say, just again, is that we are not experts. At our last workshop, I mean, all these things we wanted to share, plus we wanted to have time for everybody to share. And it's really tight. So please, as we go along, if you have a question or a comment or something that you want to throw in, please do. But hold on to your hats, because we're ready to roll, okay? We also, by the way, we had several things we wanted to do as little examples. We'll get probably some of them in. We won't get them all in. But there are resources there. There's a resource list that you have, both of internet connections, as well as books. And this is really, again, just the starting point, okay? We hope to, you know, lots of fruit will come from today.
Can I just say?
Absolutely.
You said that at 3:30 we have to vacate the premises. So what we'll do is we'll take our stuff downstairs, and at the Epiphany table, it's a talking corner. we'll take the stuff downstairs and try to put as much of the resources out at the Epiphany table, and then you should have time to, hopefully a little time to look at them, because we won't get much time.
Perfect. Thank you, Vicki. Awesome. Here. I've got it all marked. You're okay. You're ready. Good. Carrie is going to... I almost called her by her mom's name. Carrie is going to read from Matthew 18, 1-6.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called a child to him and had him stand among them. "I assure you," he said, "unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. But whoever causes the downfall of one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for them if a heavy millstone were hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea."
Thank you. Is children's and youth ministry important? You know, our theme is Him We Proclaim, that we might present everyone mature in Christ. And it's my conviction that part of maturity, while yes, we grow up, we are also never to lose our childlikeness. I'm convinced of that. But also Jesus is saying, if you welcome these folks, you're welcoming me. We're serving Jesus in all of this. And boy, what a responsibility to pass on to the next generations the gospel. They need as much as any of us desperately need Jesus and his salvation. And one of the reasons, one of the big reasons why Jane and I felt really compelled, I mean, there were many, but one of the, that we felt we could no longer stay in the Anglican Church of Canada, I'm sure some of you with tech, that because of the kids. Even if I can sort of try and hang in there, what am I passing on and how can I protect the children? We have an awesome responsibility to protect and pass on to our kids. The title that Bishop Charlie gave us for this workshop was Ministry to Children and Youth, Strategic and Central to Gospel Proclamation. So, of course, there's the biblical mandate, and that's just one passage. There are many, and some scriptures are there. There's many others you could find throughout your handout. Of course, it's the heart of the Father to reach his children. Bishop Charlie referred to this, that the vast majority of people who become Christians do so before the age of 18. Yeah. Now, how many became Christians before the age of 18? Yeah.
Depends what you mean by that.
Okay, yeah, that's true, true.
I was, went to an English boarding school and was in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And at, a certain point before I left school, church became important.
Yeah.
But it depends on your definition of what it is to become a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you can be in the church all your life, but you don't really get it till you're 30 or 40.
Right, right.
How about Christ follower?
Christ follower, let's do that. Let's work on that one. Sure. A genuine Christ follower. I mean, those of you who were at Synod in Ottawa last November may remember Canon Jack saying that the wonderful line about how 73% of all statistics quoted by speakers are made up on the spot.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Maybe that one too.
Yeah. So I've heard 81%, but I don't know if that's right, of people who become Christians do so before the age of 18. But we know it's such a...
Sorry, dear.
Such a formative time, right? Such a formative time. Young minds, young hearts, young lives to be formed. It is strategic. It is central. And I get the feeling as we sort of shift into point number two here. By the way, I'm going to put down there challenges of culture. We know the kind of world we're in. And we know the kind of culture that we're up against, right? Josh McDowell put it this way. Kids are at age 8 and younger, are being challenged with stuff that many of us were never challenged until university, or maybe not even then, in terms of challenges to the gospel, challenges to faith, challenges to sexuality. I mean, all that stuff is coming into their hand, So it's a dark world, and if the picture I had when Bishop Charlie was talking about that this priority of ministry to children and youth was of a mother bear, a mother bear defending its young. Okay? And so prayer, are we willing to fight for our kids, to fight for the next generation? And of course, using the spiritual armor that we have, the weapons that we've been given. Prayer is fundamental to every ministry, including youth and children's ministry. Very much, including his. John 5:19, Jesus talks about, he says, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. And, of course, that awesome passage, if we can, this is my life verse, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. So any fruit in ministry to children has got to come out of abiding in the Lord. As Bishop Charlie talked about, there's definitely a work component for sure, but it's got to be his power and his guidance too. And we never stop. I mean, we ask, some of us may have no children in our church, or we may be struggling. Where do we go? What do we do? How do we even start? Ask God, where do we start? Some of us may have ministries that are up and running. Ask God, what do we do next? Right? So it's both intercession, but it's also listening for his answers and guidance and direction. I've just listed there are some of the ways. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can put it in your bulletin as prayer requests, prayer chains, prayer groups. You might actually, for your own personal prayers, you might like to align up a few folks whose their real focus is praying for children and youth in your community or in your parish, you know? And by the way, we're thinking here primarily of congregation-based children's ministry. There's a lot of other stuff we could talk about, parachurch groups and stuff, which are excellent. But right now we're focusing on how do we as a congregation. Okay. So the goal, getting to point three, is not simply to entertain, babysit the kids while their parents are in church so they get a break. or the goal is not first and foremost numbers. Again, Josh McDowell talks about how in the States, but it's probably true in Canada too, in the studies they've done, when they've tested kids who even have been active in church, you know, in Bible-believing churches, too often the statistics in terms of their answers to questions like, is there absolute truth? Is Jesus the only way to God? About morality and sexual behavior. Their answers between the Christian kids and the non-Christian kids were not all that different. Were not all that different. Youth and children are being infected by the culture in which we live. And so the goal here is just what our goal theme of the conference is. Him we proclaim that we might present everyone mature in Christ, and that includes children and youth, and to put them on the journey. And of course, we have Matthew 28 and other scriptures there. You know that the Great Commission, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. So we're looking at a model of both bringing children to Christ and youth to Christ. And we have four E's. I'm not a Baptist, but I married a Baptist at least once upon a time. So we've got four E's. Evangelize, empower, establish, and equip. You probably have your own model of discipleship. That's a little one I found helpful. So Jane's going to share a little bit about some of what we do and some thoughts.
So listening to God in your prayer time can be dangerous. It was a couple years ago in the fall. I was just quietly spending time with the Lord after reading the scripture. And I heard him so clearly. It was like words dropping in front of me with a voice. And it's not usually that clear. But get ready to work with children. I was like, oh, no. the few times I tried, I hated it. I hate noise. I hate confusion. I hate repetition, unless it's a really good song or a really good sermon. I was like, no. But I did. And it was God's voice. It was God's timing, because within a year, our current kids' church and youth leader was off to school and working, and that's Kevin, who's not with us right now. And I had started in the nursery, and God had slotted me in place with leading the kids' church. And it was coming time. I told them at our first meeting, the first meeting where I was going to be starting to lead, I don't know how long I'm going to be with you. And we read that Matthew 18 passage. I said, I cannot be responsible for that. So I just want you to know, okay. But they also heard the passage too, and pretty much all of them came with us, which is amazing, because some of them were still just barely being formed themselves. Whew. So it was God, and it's been hard, but he hasn't released me yet, and I'm getting to the point where I'm not sure I want him to. Because it is good. It is so neat to see the lights going on, to see the openness, and I would almost fight Carrie, you don't know this, for that. She works, when we break into small groups, we start with an opening session. Sometimes the kids get more there, but sometimes they get more in small group. She gets the ages 3 to grade 1. As far as I'm going to, oh, yeah, start there. There's so few lies, so few. You will fight me. You will probably win, so I will not take her on. To see children come alive, to know they're loved, they have a purpose, they are not an accident. And that is part of what they're getting told by evolution, macro evolution. You're an accident. Whatever you do, just enjoy the moment, because that's all you were made for. Get as much happiness as you can. And that's part of what's coming at them. We have the good news to share. You matter. God worked so hard to get you born. He brought parents and grandparents and everything together just so you could be. Now step in to the life you were created for. Take Jesus' hand. And trying to share the good news with them in a way that they can understand. Part of it is first to get some kids you can share it with. So I'd encourage you, maybe in your own neighborhood or where your church meets, try to be visible. Maybe prayer walks that you just take yourself. You know, a word with a neighbor over the garbage cans, you know, when you're on a walk or something. Or if there's a way, you know, in your church's neighborhood, if you're meeting in a school, is there something you can partner with the school? And you may end up only being their first taste of, there's a Christian I didn't have to be afraid of. That was an okay encounter. You may just be the first one that God uses to wash away one barrier to the good news in Jesus Christ. But that first barrier down is necessary. So that waiting on the Lord, how can we get seen so that people will trust us with their kids and that kids will want to come? One of my greatest excitements is finding out kids want to come back to church, and their parents are like, I had to bring them because they wanted to come. Like, yes! There was even one little boy. His parent, he thought church school met every day of the week, and he was missing out. And he was upset about that, and his parents used to bribe him with, well, if you're good and go to school all week, we'll take you on Sunday. So, oh, wow. That really helped me continue. But the only thing that can really help you continue is knowing you're doing what God wants. So whatever the results, if Abba Daddy is pleased, that's all it needs to keep going. It really is. Because you don't know what he's doing with what you're offering him. We just give him our loaves and fishes and let him decide how it's going to be allotted and what he'll do with it. So evangelizing, finding ways to connect and build that first layer of trust, but then ways to share the gospel so they can understand and at least get the beginnings of how good this is. So things like, you were made for this, to take Jesus' hand. Jesus died on the cross to make a place for all the bad stuff to go so God could come close. He so wants to be able to be close to you. He made you for that. Jesus died to take it away. Would you let it go to the cross? And as they get bigger, sharing a little more, or if you have an opportunity, Jesus was God. No sin. He's got infinity to take all sin on himself at the cross. Your pain, the tragedies that happen to you, let it go to the cross as well as your sin. And describing more and more what sin is. And that's why we need the commands. We need to know what's going to block us from being close to God. Because it is so good. And letting them know, this is where the life is. This is where you want to be. This is the good life. To know Jesus. And if they can start young, wow, eh? Just think of all they won't have to go through. Oh, wow. And what they could become for Christ. The more health, the more of his saving grace they can absorb. And just as the psalmist put it, from my mother's womb, I was cast upon the Lord. Some of them will be like that. And they won't even be able to say, when was the point I first asked Jesus? Because right from the beginning, they were saying, yes, yes, yes. And so when we do make that invitation to trust Jesus and to ask him to be your Lord and Savior, I try to make sure it happens regularly. It's not every Sunday, but it's pretty frequently. Tying it in with what the Bible story is showing us about Jesus, who we are and who God is. I also try to make sure, and if you've already asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you ask him to take you a little deeper? Would you see if there's something he's saying, would you please bring that now to my cross? Because as you get bigger, you have more to give Jesus. You've got more in your mind now, don't you? There's more you can do. There's more you can do wrong, too. Would you ask Jesus to be Lord over it all? And not being concerned, not to bring on that condemnation that happened to me as a kid. I kept in the Baptist church hearing more about, you know, you've sinned and you need Jesus. And what did I do wrong this week? I tried so hard. And you just want them, there's more for you. And just thinking again, if they can start now, wow, I want to see what they become. So finding ways to share the gospel that they'll be able to understand. Another phrase that God's brought to me is, take the deal. Jesus was willing to take your sin. And he'll give you his life. Will you take that deal? It is amazing.
Can I just add? Yep. For evangelism, another thing that can help is special events. Like even just simply a parish picnic. we have a parish picnic, and we have it on our church lawn, and we send out invitations, and a bunch of kids came. We didn't do anything other than they got to know us.
Yeah.
And played games and had hot dogs.
What's neat is some of them came to where kids say Bible verses. They get a little a chance to throw a ball and get a little treat for one of their memory verses, kind of. Kids from the neighborhood wanted a chance to do that. So they went away. If they were like, three, can you say, Jesus loves me? That's from the Bible. And Jesus loves me. And again, that's not a lot, but it's the Holy Spirit can use that later. You know, they were kind to me. They didn't say, no, you can't do this because you can't memorize enough of the Bible verse in time. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's like grace, welcome as much as you can do. Let's just get your toe in the water and maybe you'll feel like jumping in later. Or just, you know, into your ankles. So evangelize and then empower to know who you are in Christ, to know that you're loved and accepted and belong, to know what's available to you and to be. That is so important by modeling. If I can model grace, not kick myself or anybody else when something goes wrong, and it will go wrong. Anything from a child just wants to start, did you see my kitty? We were just praying to God. So can you have your kitty folded? It's just her toy kitty, but she's so excited. Or I forgot something, or whatever it might be. Modeling grace and showing, this is for you in Jesus. You want this. You really want this. One of my favorite things, we just pulled it out again, is the love blanket. I have this big red felt blanket. And I just thought, God's love is like this. And then any child who wants a hug can go in the blanket. And that's pretty safe even by anybody's standards, because everybody can see where my hands are at all times. It's the blanket that's giving the hug. To empower them to know who they are in Christ and to go forward. Establish. To know the truth of the faith and to be grounded in the truth, and that Spirit will always be able to use that to help them not take in lies. Establishing in the Scriptures, and one, I just like to recommend if you're starting and you're like, it's 0 to 4 kids or 0 to 10 kids, you might go for a couple weeks with no kids, and then you might have a couple and the age range is big. The thing I would most recommend is,
Oh, someone was looking at it.
Okay, the Read and Share DVD?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, if you would hold it up, please. And there's a kid's Bible that goes with it, has 52 of the Bible stories. We were playing it as you came in, if you came in early. And they're only about like 3 minutes long. They are not all perfect theologically, but they are pretty good summaries. You can just show that clip. The animation is so, I almost want to say sweet. It's pretty sweet in all terms. how teens would use it and how adult from way back would use it, right? And it captures attention. Then with the older kids, you can have them sort of discuss a bigger question. Great information on how to phrase questions for different age levels on one of the websites mentioned there. Childrensministry.com. It's the back of the first resource page. Ministry2children.com. It even has short videos to teach on how to phrase questions. So I try to prepare questions for all age levels and then vary from week to week if we did a craft or an activity, because hands-on physical stuff makes such a difference for kids. Not only do they have a short attention span, so it's really good to kind of keep shifting what you're doing, also if they can do something, they actually hear better if they're moving physically. And this is a big point. God had to teach me this. Kids are not recalcitrant adults. They're not difficult adults. They are not deliberately misbehaving adults, okay? They're learning. They're learning. How do you sit and listen? I don't want to listen. I like to just cry and somebody does what I want. And they're all coming from different homes for how long you have to cry to get what you want, right? They're just learning how to talk to another kid. They're learning how to share a toy even. And as they get older, they're learning how to learn. So I would do something like have that DVD, just 3 minutes, maybe read a verse or two from the Bible to make sure the main thing is the main thing and they're getting that. And then do a little hands-on thing, whether it's a game or a craft. We had an older kid, he's a 14-year-old, came to help with the younger kids. And he said, oh, I remember doing this in kindergarten. Why don't we ever do this with the older kids? Sorry. For the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat, I pre-cut
these little figures, but the kids drew their own faces of Jesus glued on the felt. They made their own little boat, and they could float it. And first, Jesus is sleeping in the boat, but then the storm. And I mean, you have to watch how many kids put their heads in and splash, right? You have towels ready. And this could be just done on a little side table. Same thing with the three-minute DVD story. Could just be shown on a laptop and gather the kids around. Or, you know, if you have other facilities, go ahead and show it big. And then they you talk about, is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus in your heart helping you deal with storms? Can we pray and talk to Jesus? And maybe they're even going to be close enough, they'll share a storm in their life. And again, you're showing them how to live, how to walk with Jesus. Now, another really fun thing we found, would you call up the Bigsby Bible song?
I can do that.
Okay. Over each year, we do one larger memory project, whether it's Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer. This year, we're trying to learn the books of the Bible. This song is so catchy. We had two teenage boys. One of them put it on his iPhone. He was humming it at school, and it was other kids from around. Oh, yeah, they started humming it, too. And the other kid went, what? They have to tell them, don't they? Yeah, yo, this is a hoot. You got to see this, or you got to listen to them. Go ahead, Carrie. Feel free to sing along when you catch it. This is free on the internet.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job.
You're going to feel how sad Job is.
Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, the Prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel,
and the minor prophets are
Hosea, Job, Amos and Obadiah, Jonah and Micah, Nahum and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, 400 years go by.
And then things start to heat up, and the Holy Spirit comes and gets us ready for Jesus. So things go faster now.
Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and James and 1-2 Peter, 1-2-3 John, Jude and Revelation. These are the books of the Bible. I read it for my survival. Every day I hide God's word away inside my heart. It's the only place to start. I hide God's word in my heart. Every day.
And then it shows a few Bible verses about why you need to hide his word in your heart. Music is a wonderful way to help with memorization.
How do you find that, please?
How do you find it? That is on, it's on YouTube. Okay. So it's, sorry? And GodTube as well. And it's the Bigsby Bible Book Song.
On the first page, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, it is.
Four.
Okay.
Four.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our kids, a number of the kids actually do know all the books of the Bible now.
I sing it.
Awesome.
I sing all the books of the Bible.
Yeah.
So then when you're trying to look something up, you have to sing it, right?
Yeah. That's right. We're all here.
Trying to encourage them to jump in.
Where's Habakkuk again?
That's right. Get used to a boat where it is, and then jump in, and you'll find it.
Yeah. So and the same, with actual scriptures, too,
that's
of course.
Right.
We know as adults, memorizing scripture by song is a great way to do it.
There's a lovely Robin Mark song, free again on YouTube, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and we were learning that over the Easter. And part of it, sometimes they learn better altogether, and if you're getting better response, do a little more there. If you don't have, we're so blessed. I have two committed teen girls. young women who will lead small groups, and they are there every Sunday, or they're calling me up to say why, and it's rare. So that's amazing. So work with who God gives you, and we'll have more on that later. Yes, the curriculum we're blessed enough to use is Scripture Union. Why I settled on it is because it goes through the whole Bible every 4.5 to 5 years. And I didn't find too many that did. And I wanted to make sure they were, because otherwise I found I was just leaping back and forth between different things. And I want to give them that grounding. We also keep a timeline out. And they do go back and forth between Old Testament and New Testament. So it's easy to keep Jesus central. So they have stuff. Basically, though, it is broken down into age groups. I get all their leaders' manuals and then choose from those what to do when we're just one group and have all the different ages, plus supplementing it from stuff I find online, knowing our kids, maybe they need more hands-on, maybe they need, you know, a game rather than a word-find puzzle. Like, sorry, yes?
Is that
it is mentioned in there, yes. Where did I put it? Yes, it's the first, under Engaging with the Bible, Scripture Union Curriculum. So have a look at it. One of the neat things about it, it has online web resources. So if you just want to get a leader's manual, you can still download some and stuff to use, maybe an animation from the grid level, or coloring sheets, cutout sheets, activity information. And they also have sheets to use with the kids in class. Sometimes it helps go through the Bible narrative. Other times it's actually an activity or a way to pray, something like that. Like this age group is sort of middle school, well, younger than middle school. They'd be making maybe a mobile together or acting out part of the story together. The youngest kids, I have to call them Carries. the sheets have disappeared. We've been sending things around. Like here on the woman who was bent over that Jesus healed. As you're telling the story, they could be cutting out the woman and seeing the difference. And you can explain a little of the response, how people saw it. And with the older kids, what we did is we walked from opening session to our small group like this and talked about what is it like to be like this. And you know what? That was only 1 minute. She does that for years. You know, so trying to keep giving them a different way to take it in, different learning styles, but... there's lots of creativity.
You were surprised by the felt boards. Now, not everybody could afford these or be able to track them, but we were surprised that in this technological age, they were totally attracted to the felt boards.
They are. They love it. They want to put it up.
They can hands-on,
and they don't get the magic of it. And it's such a hoot, because there they are telling me about their latest video game or hardware, and I have no idea what it is. And, can I do the flannel graph? And I say, yeah, if you're good. No, try not to be that manipulative. Low-tech, we also use paper bag hand puppets, okay? Hardly any cost. They can be very flexible. It's not too hard to turn, Adam into Esau. Okay. And change his clothes a little bit. They get to touch And again, as the kids get older, they want to help do it. Maybe it's a skit, something else. They want to help you do it. And it'll sink in even more as they're doing it. The Scripture Union. Oh, I'm lousy with numbers. It depends on how many...
Depends on how much you ordered.
It is.
Now, we are willing to give away any...
we had a few leftover samples.
Any excess that we have.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, right. But if... yeah.
I think it was very expensive. I ordered it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
It may be... It was under $50 to get a leader's and at least one
child sheet?
Book that had the...
For the year?
For a term.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the more inexpensive.
Because it's in pounds when I look at it on the website. And I'm just...
I can do that.
Oh, good.
Okay, good.
Good.
All right. We'll call you.
Yes. Report back. So engaging with the Bible in ways that will create biblical memories. Okay. And that's part of why the hands-on, there's a memory happening, not just, I heard words. And I saw some of the love, and I got to touch and get a sense of the wonder. What would it be like? So waking them up to the scriptures.
Maybe we should just a quick word on stop, drop, and pray, and then we can do
okay, one of our, so teaching to pray, modeling it, stopping to pray when you need to, and trying to teach them it's not just the Lord's Prayer. Our opening prayer, I encourage them all the time. Oh, you got to fold your hand. You know, you want to do something with your hands now. You either want to go like this, or maybe you want to go like this to receive something from God, or maybe you're just so excited about God right now and you want to do like that. But we're praying, and it helps them again. They're doing something physical, and that helps them to focus. We're talking to God. But one of the phrases we've used that's been fun is, you probably all know, stop, drop, and roll, right? For stop, drop, and pray just to make it today. Some of you might remember MC Hammer. We did that that's once, great. Too, with the older kids.
Can't touch this.
Very good, too.
I'm a frustrated rapper. Can we do the game for the
sure.
holiness?
Yes. Yep, for personal holiness.
So, again, it's about discipleship. There's different ways you can use object lessons. There's all kinds of ways. But games are another way, especially with the older ones. And there's one, I don't know if I brought it, but a book called Play It was great. There are lots of resources for kids of all age. Groups of all sizes. Do we have two volunteers, one of whom wouldn't mind getting on the floor? Any volunteers?
I don't mind guessing.
Oh, bless you, Zena. And Peter. Okay. So we need space.
And you might want to stand up to see.
Yeah, this is a race.
You have to be on the floor and stand up to
see. No.
I'm speaking to the larger group.
Okay, yeah. Carrie and I are together, and Peter and Zena are together. So follow what Carrie's doing. Okay.
We did with this with the teens one evening.
Oh.
So that's what I meant. You might want to stand up to see.
Yeah. This is a race. This is a race. You and I are going to race. Even though we have the same last name, we're going to race each other, and we'll race to Jim there. Okay? Somebody says...
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
On your mind, I think the ability to lay on the floor was a little short.
Who's going to be our starter?
Rug burn at the same time.
Somebody say on your mark, get set.
On your mark.
Get set. Go. Oh.
There you
go. Oh.
I think I won that one.
Now, we didn't tell the kids either what was happening, but afterward, if you do not forgive somebody, you are dragging them around. Jesus wants you to forgive. Now, we did that over a year ago, and Carrie remembered it. Because she was dragging someone around, and it helped in forgiving.
Oh, that's great.
And the suspense creates. The suspense of not knowing and not getting told ahead helps create an openness and a teachable moment. You don't feel so manipulated. You just have this kind of. Normally, we would not force adults to do that. Teens are looking for something different, they want a chance for hands-on. So
Jesus told parables, so there's trying to find ways to illustrate, right?
A teachable moment when somebody's and the aha happens, and it helps you move on.
Maybe. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Right. Sorry.
Yep. And teaching to be part of the church. So even now, what they're good at, what they're engaging, helping them, connect them with an adult maybe who does that. Maybe they're hearing all this amazing spiritual stuff, and they need to know, wow, we could really use encounters. Do you want to see what the counters do? Do you want to see what the welcomers do? Do you want to see what happened? We had one little girl, Vicky, she was a hoot. Oh, that family moved. That was a grief. she would come into the kitchen during coffee hour and help wash dishes.
She was nine.
Wow. Nine. And that was having her.
Your six-year-old got really mad because he wanted to help out, and you know, I told him that he wasn't old enough yet. He's like, but I'm already six.
You remember what it was he wanted to do?
Yeah, you want to just help out with kids' church?
I remember that.
We're now moving into equip, which is that, you know, one of those passages up top, Acts 2:17, and Bishop Don referred to it. You know, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. You know, think about Jeremiah. Think about Timothy. You know, passages about, you know, you don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. So, of course, the youth and children will continue to need training, but it's my conviction that right from the start, we need to be equipping them to be evangelists and to be servants and to be part of the church. They're part of the church now. They're not just the part of the future church. And so, you know, as age appropriate, to involve them. So, you've got so some of the best witnesses to kids are often kids. Sometimes the best witnesses to parents are kids, and teens to teens, right? So, sorry, over to you, dear.
So part of equipping is equipping to be witnesses, and that's part of evangelism too. So we try to have hands-on things, or they'll do things they're going to want to talk about. As Bishop Malcolm says, gossip the gospel. Either something's happened between me and God, I'm naturally going to share with my closest friends, or it was so goofy, or it was so fun, it's going to come up in conversation. And just start tweeting, church may not be what you thought, to someone who's never been to church, or only at a church where they didn't feel welcomed or didn't get engaged. One of the fun things I found, this is, you can Google this, EvangiCube. So like evangelism with EvangiCube. Okay? Why I love this is, again, it's a fascinating hands-on thing. It tells the gospel. Sin separating us from a holy God. And God so wants to come close. We were made for that. He can't. So he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to make a place for sin to go, and he really died. And he was sealed away in a tomb, but he didn't stay dead. He came alive in a new resurrection life. And he now is the way for us to go to God. He's the bridge to God. So you want to take Jesus to God and become God's friend forever. And that saves you from having eternity without God and brings you to heaven. And it can start now, that friendship with God. And these are the ways we keep that friendship strong and talk about that. So it's just fascinating. I love the way it feels when I move it. They want to get their hands on it. And I shamelessly use it as a bribe to get them to memorize their verses. And they win one like that the first year. If they remember all the verses the next year, a second year in a row, they get a big one. And you know they're going to show their friends. I mean, come on, you got to see how I can do this. You don't know how to do it. Yeah, you try. Yeah, well, now watch me do it. So things like that where they're going to, it's just going to share naturally, eh? To find them and use them as you can.
Now, one young woman in our parish has been such a blessing. She's also, by the way, I didn't mention this, our niece. She's a really good example of this idea of being a minister at her age. So could you share a little, Carrie?
Well, hi, I'm Carrie, making sure that's still working, being the tech person.
I probably turned it off by accident.
No, you're still good. Just don't touch it.
Okay.
I grew up Baptist, actually, just like her. Over the past 3 years, I've been at St. Luke's, and well, Southern Baptist. I was even worse.
Or better.
Texas. But I've been teaching Sunday school for 3 years, or kids' church, age 3 to grade 1, when I tell you a million stories about them and how adorable they all are. And how, like, you tell them anything, their faces just light up, and they just think it's the best, most amazing thing they've ever heard. Because some of them have never heard it. They just came with their friends, maybe, because they slept over at their friend's house the night before, or they just never caught on before. And then they're like, yeah. Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. Yeah, it is. And then this last holiday, over Christmas break, I went on a 9-day mission trip to Panama with a group called Global Expeditions, which they're great if you have teens that are looking to go on mission trips. They're pretty great. And that opened me up to God wanting me to do a group at school, a club, called Love Revolution, based on the book Love Revolution by Joyce Meyer, which I would recommend it. It's kind of more showing God's love rather than, here's God, have a nice day. Like, showing God's love first and then telling it why we're doing this. Like, if we have extra food at the end of the club, we go and hand them out to people. why are you giving me free food? Of course, in high school, nobody gives out free food. We're all teenagers and hungry. Why are you giving me free food? Because we love you, and so does Jesus. And then we run away.
Confidence is building slowly.
And this last week, there's another club called Tolerance Club. You guys can kind of guess what that's about. Like, gay rights, making everyone happy kind of thing. Just that sort of thing. And they came in and wanted to ask us questions so that they weren't just... Because they're really into being not ignorant, which I think is pretty good. If you're going to be in Tolerance Club, you should know what you're being tolerant of.
That's right.
And they came and asked us questions, and they're really respectful. And we're just kind of getting the word out, and we might team up with them, do something good for the school kind of thing to get our name out. Because we're a relatively new club. We started back end of February, I think. So we've just been doing stuff, and we're going to start testimonies, and it's going fantastically.
I'd like to share that and Carrie let the church know ahead through different means. So the prayer chain was praying, prayed Saturday morning. Tim drove into the parking lot and prayed while it was happening. Because you'd had an encounter, was it the week before, where it was quite hostile by the leader of that club?
Or one of the leaders, yeah.
So it was an amazing answer to prayer.
Yeah. And then she was even there because she started her own atheist-like club.
So, lots
of prayers were answered that day.
Yes.
They answered throughout the whole club. Kind of random prayers. Well, not random prayers. They're all meaningful prayers.
I've learned the word random is important. Is epic still important?
Yes.
Okay. So just thank you, Carrie, for sharing. I mean, it's exciting that... Being in the school sharing the gospel is awesome. And and there was a real... concern. It could have been an attack, but when the cult, and it wasn't, as we heard.
Apparently, some people are really upset that there is a Christian club because it's a public school. Uh-huh. And then my argument was, well, if you can be publicly atheist, I can be publicly Christian. So
there we go.
That's it. But how about the administration of the school? Can you get into that at all?
Actually, no, they can't tell us no, because if they can let Tolerance Club have a club, they can let us. And we were actually starting this right before the strike in Ontario happened. And the weekend that we were about to start the club, the strike went up. So we could actually advertise on the announcements and everything. I should probably say that or something. So it was kind of a prayer answered there, and the vice president of the student council came and found me and did a lot of stuff for me, and the vice principal said okay. I knew that they're of a teacher that was Christian, or is Christian. He's not, he's still here. Still is. And he let us use his room, and he lets us use his room every Thursday. And it's just
come into place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Somebody's opening doors.
That's right.
Who he is.
That's right. Thanks so much, Carrie. So equipping. And making disciples. We've already referred to this idea of starting where we are. I love Acts 1:8 is, you remember Jesus before his ascension said that you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So starting where you are, whatever our situation is, ask God, where do we start? I love the story, and this is the story of the lost bicyclist, that Sandy Miller... Nicky Gumbel's rector at one point, anyway, I guess he's retired now, but he told the story of the bicyclist who was lost in Ireland. He was on holiday, got lost in some lane, you know, in the country, and he was lost. So he asked a farmer, you know, this is where I want to get to. How do I get there? The farmer thought for a few minutes and said, well, if I was going there, I wouldn't start from here. And I love that story, and I thought of it often, because the point is we are where we are. And so, Lord, we may not lead us from here in this. We need to leave at 3:30. So we can, are you okay? Are you guys okay for another few minutes? We're not going to try and do the rest of like all the points there. There's suggestions and so on. I'm just going to... Really, as you were ending there, Vicky, you were talking about number 6, dealing with real issues, whether it's working in advocacy, in the issues that you brought up, or it's dealing with the kids, youth, children that come to us. They come from broken families, some of them. They're experiencing all kinds of stuff and all kinds of issues. All we want to say there is that has to be part of it, too. Deal with real people and real issues. I've been thinking a lot about apologetics, that is, equipping kids to be able to make a defense, you know, to give the reason for the hope that's in them, as it says in 1 Peter. A lot of our kids are like, I know, Jane, you've said, are in the youngest classes even, have questions about, because a lot of the kids they know don't believe. Some of their teachers ridicule them as they get older. I mean, we have one of our teenagers who is who's been ridiculed regularly for her Christian beliefs by her teachers. One resource we've given is the Apologetics Bible.
I recommend it.
Do you? All right. Bless you. And so there's articles and things about.
Mine's kind of ruined or messed up a lot.
Good. That a Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who's not.
So, is that in the resource list? Great. Thanks.
So there's a number of things there. The technology. I mean, I'm lost, but praise God for people like Carrie and others who will, you know, do the Facebooking and all that on behalf of the church. That's a whole other area. I'm going to backtrack for a minute to point number five. We know, going back, start where you are in point five, it's about relationship. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not about gimmicks. Yeah, we have games, or we have tools, or we have resources, and those are helpful. Point number nine is about, you know, being creative. That's great. Doing it different ways. But the primary thing is share Jesus and love them. And love them. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world, but if you have not love, you know, you're nothing, I'm nothing.
Can I just mention there,
sure.
As you go through the Bible, as you're teaching, always holding Jesus up, mm-hmm. and it's so easy to show him in the Old Testament, and to say that God was getting us ready for Jesus, and whether it's the ark, or the sacrificial system, or, and you can engage with the kids right at that level where they go, they killed a lamb? And you say, yeah, it was horrible. It's all, yes, that's how bad sin is. And that's how much God wants to get back close to you. He tells us blood has to be shed for sin. Jesus was willing to have his blood shed. So we don't have to do that anymore. So just finding a way to help them see how it's all about Jesus and to have that closest relationship.
That's right. Thanks, dear. I love the fact that our youth group is, we have about eight if everybody's there. We meet on Thursday nights, and you know, but some of us weren't going to be there this week, but they wanted to meet anyway. Mm-hmm. Because they're loving each other. One of the things we do is we call it battles and blessings, an opportunity, and it's growing where people can share whatever's going on in their lives. What are your battles? What are your blessings? Sometimes it's very deep. Sometimes it's very surface. But it's just building trust with each other and for us. Of course, food is important. And just hanging out. And it's okay to do it. In fact, it's great to do a social thing. One of the great things to do, we're going to acquire the fire, a big youth conference that Carrie found out about Panama and her mission trip. Going to things, connecting with other churches.
Having to be a car with people for a couple of hours.
That's it. Yeah, it's not just the conference. It's getting to the conference and spending. We went to Wendy's at
midnight.
Burger King, right. It was Burger King. And Burger King, by then, only had the drive-thru. It was hilarious. We're all standing at the drive-thru ordering our food. Taxi came up. You know, but those things, any social events that we can do is all good. Building friendship. Point seven, and Vicky really did a great job on this, talking about equipping families to take them home, to take it home. Did I miss one? No. Okay. Just very briefly, so there's resources that Vicky mentioned. Perhaps you've heard of the whole Take It Home movement. Lutheran pastor in the States, he's brought ideas about how can we equip families. Because, and he points at Deuteronomy, and I'm not going to apply today, but puts a lot of emphasis on passing it on to our children, right? Writing it on the door, you know, doorposts and everything. And so we every once in a while we have take-it-home Sundays where we give some kind of a resource for, and we invite the families. We, you know, maybe how to bless their kids, these home, or how to have a Bible study with kids, how to have prayers at home. Because parents, they don't necessarily know these things, or they're nervous how to do it. We gave away Bibles. Every family, we try to be sure they have a Bible that the kids can read, and they can read together.
Hands-on Bible is great for that. The youngest one actually has built-in things to kind of engage them during the story, and then question to ask. So it's like the family devotion is right in there in only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty handy.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, and even just practically, we may have children or youth for, you know, 40 hours a year, 100 hours a year, 10 hours a year. You know, it's how to do it at home. I mentioned last night prayers for our congregation. We're going to try this. We're going to do a pilot project with a few parents who are already in the congregation. It seems to be a good thing. We hope there will be a team. We're not going to pressure them to put it on again to open it up to the community. But for the same church that makes the Alpha course and then it went on to make the marriage course, they now do the parenting course. So we're going to try it out. I'll let you know how it goes.
Next one, we'll be dealing with your elderly parent course. And then
there you go. Yeah.
Your crotchety pastor course. Point eight is simply, you know, when Jesus, he said, let the children come to me and don't hinder them. Don't hinder them. So how, this is just really raising the question, whether we are meeting in our own building or in a rented space or in a tent, you know, how can we think like, say, a parent bringing a child? How can we think, what is it like to come into this place for the first time? Is it clean? You know, what's the decor? Are the kids welcome? Do they have a place in the worship? Do they have, whatever strategy, whatever way for us, think about how can we make, and maybe we need to teach our adults, you know. We may have to put up with a little noise from now, time and again, or whatever.
And that's why I think the King James is so good. Suffer the little children.
Safe church policy. We had a children's talk, but we're out of time, so we won't do that. But one little thing, it's an old-fashioned idea, but we always do a children's talk. Point nine, again, creativity. You know, there's all different ways, both creativity in terms of the activity, but also the opportunities. It may be Sunday, it may be a group, it may be a baptism class, a confirmation class. Using the church year is a great teaching tool. Apparently, it's still legal to take your kids, if you say, like on All Saints Days on a Thursday or something, you could have an event and they would have permission, the kids would have permission to come to it. You know, the big events we've mentioned.
Jump in there.
Sure.
Just quickly. When Tim says, you know, they get permission, we're not getting permission from the school so that you can have your own child.
Yeah.
You're telling them, parents can tell them that they will have a religious day, holiday, and they are not, that is not to be held or marked against them on their.
Right.
On their attendance.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying.
Well, sometimes the school board thinks it's their children and we just babysit at night.
Right. Good point.
Does that mean Ontario? Is that across Canada?
I can only talk about Ontario. I don't know about the rest.
Yeah. Anyway, that's something to check. Vacation. The arms are folded too. No. Okay, all right. Basically, last thought, mentoring is important, you know, having sometimes a one-on-one relationship. Jane meets with a young woman every 3 or 4 weeks. Obviously, safe church is important and all that.
I would like to mention with team building, work with who you have, what gifts there might be. You might have someone say, no way, you're going to, I'm not going to be with the kids. But maybe they would download the stuff for you. They're a tech whiz. Mm-hmm. Maybe they would draw you pictures. I have one lady. If I make invitations for the church picnic or for our
Christmas pageant, she will walk around the neighborhood and put them in the boxes. So see what you've got?
We have a shut-in who is making 50. She knits. She's making 50 part. We're doing a vacation Bible school for the first time.
And it's all based on crafts, because there's this one woman with this incredible gift to make things, and she wants to do the armor of God.
That's right.
All right, then. Let her go.
So part of the armor is being made by a woman in her late 80s who's a shut-in.
And she's knitting the back that we're going to paint silver to look like mesh.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Hang in there, folks. Hang in there. Keep praying, keep working, and let's do it together. I'm sorry you didn't have more time to share. I'm sorry we rushed through things, but this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning, and we're praying and looking towards having a conference or something.
I'm just looking for the... It's almost all around.
Okay. But oh, the email list?
The list?
Yeah.
I have the list to pass around.
So I think we... And hopefully you will share your ideas. These resources, as Vicki said, are going to go downstairs. Can we stand?
And can I just say there's a whole pack of brochures down on the tables there. And if you can take some and take them back to your church or your neighborhoods and share them out wherever you think that might be helpful, that would be great. Because the people who gave them to me to bring will be glad to know that I passed them on.
Right.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. Vicki, would you mind sending us out in a prayer?
Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, first of all, that you have gathered each of us together here this afternoon, that you have planted within us desire and hope and joy and peace and love that is just waiting to burst forth in so many different ways, that the gifts and talents that you've given, and we are offer them now, Lord, all on this table, all to you. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, take us from this place and help us to breathe your spirit on all that we meet. Father, thank you for our love that you have given us to share with others. Pray for our families and our children. We pray for those who are alone and lost. We pray, Lord, now that in these few hours that we have left together, you will continue to knit us together, and we will be your people. In Jesus' name, we offer this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, so much.
Thank you.